Hi there, my name's Alphonse. I'm the guy that runs this grassroots Infomedias of the People radio show. And I got a good story for you here. Well, I don't know if it's good or not, but it's a story. It's a story about 911. You know, I became interested in 911 on that morning when, you know, the proper planes weren't scrambled and they didn't abide by the FAA protocol that deals with air emergencies. An air emergency is where a plane's transponder goes off or the plane won't respond to radio calls or they're off course, you know, that sort of thing, or they're hijacked. That's another one. And what the FAA is supposed to do in a situation like that is to call up NORAD and tell them, hey, you know, we got a plane off course here and it won't respond to radio or it's hijacked or something. And then they scramble planes, usually two. They get two. And they're supposed to go out there and find the plane, do the directions from FAA. Even if the transponders are off, they can still find it because you've got its position relative to other known positions of aircraft that have their transponders on. So though you may not be able to narrow it down precisely, well, you still might be able to do that with GPS, but even though you couldn't nail it down precisely, you could still get them in the ballpark and they could do a visual on it, especially on the morning of 911, which was clear as a bell, you know, maximum visibility. So I wondered about that, and you know, why didn't they scramble? And why didn't they scramble from Andrews Air Force Base, which is right next door to the Pentagon? So I went over there to the Andrews Air Force Base website and hunted down their mission statement. Like any military organization, they're going to have some kind of a statement of their mission. Well, that was the District of Columbia Air National Guard, and they had a mission statement there. It said, DCANG mission, to provide combat units in the highest possible state of readiness. Highest possible state of readiness. Now, on my website, where I debunk popular mechanics debunking, alleged debunking of the 911 conspiracies, I've got a link right to some of the some evidence that is what it said on there. But you know what? It's pretty strange. About a week after 911, I was talking to people in a chat room, Yahoo chat room, and I was saying, "Look at what their mission statement says over here." And I gave them the link to the DC Air National Guard website, and they said, "That's not a military website, it's a porno site." And I thought, uh-oh, maybe I left a porno site on my clipboard or something here. And so I checked, and no, it was the .mil, it was the doggone .mil website. Yeah. So I surfed on over there myself, and sure enough, that URL redirected you to some kind of porno website. And I said, now this is ridiculous. This is weird. What's going on here? You know, and apparently, you know, people at this website over here called emperorsclothes.com were thinking the same thing I was thinking. Why didn't they scramble out of Andrews? And they were looking at the same thing. Only difference is they had the foresight to download the website. They downloaded the website and archived it, and they've got, you know, they've got it here on their site, which I linked to on my popular mechanics debunk site. Now, that made me very suspicious. You know, the fact that they didn't scramble planes, the fact that they changed they changed the website, which had the mission statement, that's just too weird. Another website that I went to was I believe it's the 187th Fighter Wing that's located at Toledo Express Airport. because some of the planes were flying willy-nilly. Some of the hijacked planes were flying willy-nilly all over the Cleveland area. Why the hell didn't they scramble planes from Toledo Express? And then I find out that maybe they did. Maybe they did scramble planes. Now, I live close enough to it that I would expect to have heard them take off. And I never heard them on 911. And then they had a mission statement very similar to the D.C. Air National Guard. They said that they were at the highest state of combat readiness as well, and that they were part of NORAD, and that they would scramble, intercept, and escort if in case of an air emergency. So anyway, I became pretty suspicious of the whole thing and started, you know, becoming pretty much obsessed with it. You know, what the hell is going on here? It looks, something's not right here. It's all fishy. And then I find out that the Pentagon is hit by something, and we don't know what the something is for sure, because there's no wreckage outside the Pentagon that, like, all went inside and went through this little 18-foot diameter hole. I thought, well, that's kind of weird. That's kind of fantastic. And then you look at the way that the World Trade Center towers collapsed in a symmetrical free fall. I thought, that just doesn't look right. Doesn't look like what should have happened. You know, just from, you know, common sense, that asymmetrical damage doesn't add up to symmetrical free fall. And then I find out later about Building 7. It wasn't hit by anything, and it collapsed. Why was it on fire? None of the other buildings were on fire. And then there's also Building 6. Very seldom talked about Building 6 that blew up in a mushroom cloud. Thinking, this is crazy. This is just nuts. So I became very, very interested in it. And when Popular Mechanics published their article about debunking the conspiracy theories, I read it, of course, and I found out almost immediately that they had no idea. You know, and they brag about having a panel of some 100 experts and researchers. So I start to debunk it, and I invite you over to the Grassroots Infomedias of the People radio show website, which is called freedomisforeverybody.org, and click on that debunk site, because it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. You know, their panel of 100 experts. I start to debunk it, and I've got all of what they say, they being Popular Mechanics, is in non-bold print. And then I've got my responses to their print in bold red. And I get to the second paragraph of the Popular Mechanics article. And here's what they say. They say, 3.5 years later, not everyone is convinced we know the truth. It says, go to google.com and type in the search phrase, quote, World Trade Center conspiracy, unquote, and you'll get links to an estimated 628,000 websites. They say that there's more than 3,000 books on 911 have been published. Many of them reject the official consensus that hijackers associated with Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda flew passenger airplanes into U.S. landmarks. Well, right there in the second paragraph, they've got something that's wrong. I read that and I thought, now wait a second. You're trying to tell me that there are 628,000 websites that have the term World Trade Center conspiracy in that order? That seems impossible. That doesn't seem right. So I went to Google and I typed in quotations, a World Trade Center conspiracy. You see, when you put when you put search terms in quotations, You'll get a listing of all the web pages that have those terms in that order. And if you do that, you'll get 657 websites, not 628,000. The 628,000 was the search results you get from World Trade Center conspiracy, and any page that has World Trade Center or conspiracy on it will pop up. So right away, I find out they're wrong in the second paragraph because they didn't know or forgot to put World Trade Center conspiracy in quotations. That's called an advanced quote. And I've got links right to the search I did, which shows you 615 websites. Now, another thing I've done, and I've got them debunked all over the place on here. Now, I've got links to a CNN quick vote. You know, in response to their paragraph here, they say, a healthy skepticism, it seems, has curled into paranoia. Wild conspiracy tales are peddled daily on the internet, talk radio, and in other media. Blurry photos, quotes taken out of context, and sketchy eyewitness accounts have inspired a slew of elaborate theories. The Pentagon was struck by a missile. The World Trade Center was raised by a demolition-style bombs. Flight 93 was shot down by a mysterious white jet. As outlandish as these claims may sound, they are increasingly accepted abroad and among extremists here in the United States. And I respond to that. I say that these claims of paranoia in this paragraph are claims, when actually PM is either lying, wrong, or naive, and exaggerating with the terms wild conspiracy tales, painting with a broad brush to imply that anyone that thinks conspiracy is crazy. In fact, it is PM that has gone wild. And then I've got a graphic from CNN.com, Quick Vote, where they did a poll online. And the question that they asked was, do you believe there is a U.S. government cover-up surrounding 9-1-1? And 87% responded with yes. That was 3,484 votes out of a possible 4,023. And then no, the no voters, 13%. There were 539 of them out of the 4,023. So it appears to me that a lot of people think that the U.S. government is covering things up. Not only that, there's a Zogby poll that was commissioned by a fellow named James Jimmy Walter that indicates that half of the people in New York City think the government had something to do with it. They knew about it and let it happen. 67% of the people in New York City believe that there should be a criminal investigation, two-thirds. So to say that these things are wild and crazy is just not factual. So I email PM, Popular Mechanics, and indicate to them that they've been debunked, write the editor. Oh, they've been debunked, and I tell them they've been debunked, and there's so many problems with their article, it's not funny. And I believe that the editor of Popular Mechanics came over to my site because I can see where people came from, what the referrals are, you know, with a statistics analyzer. And then I tried to post a message on their blog on 2/15. And I'm making this recording on February 23rd, and I tried twice even to post something on Popular Mechanics' blog, which is full of articles that praise their articles, but they won't let me post. And I'd urge you to get to this page, which you can surf on over to by going to freedomisforeverybody.org and then click on our debunk Popular Mechanics link. And email Popular Mechanics. Got a link right to their email. Email Popular Mechanics and ask them why they are censoring anybody that has negative feedback on their so-called debunk article. It's ridiculous. I did, in fact, find a way to post on the blog of one of the people who made commentary on the Popular Mechanics site. Yeah, they were praising the 911 investigation. And it was from a military analyst and columnist called Austin Bay. So I went over to their site, which is called, their blog, which is called Strategy Page. And because of that, I got hits from NASA.gov and Sandia.gov. Sandia is pretty interesting. So is NASA. So I have these top-notch scientists coming to the site, taking a look at it. But they didn't read the whole article, and they didn't make any comment to me about it. And there's been no feedback at the strategy page, this military analyst and columnist. I guess it's a blog that's frequented by people in NASA and Sandia. And when I'm done talking about this Popular Mechanics here, we're going to play some information about Sandia. I went over to their site because I thought, wow, I've got these high-powered government scientists looking at my site. I think I'll see who the hell they are. Of course, I know who NASA is. But Sandia, I wasn't that familiar with. And now I find out that they're into nanotechnology. I'm telling you, with nanotechnology, they're going to be able to build robotic insects. Yeah. And they're going to be able to build microscopic robots. And that's no kidding. What I play is going to be right from the Sandia site. So it's some pretty interesting stuff. And I really do I just absolutely trash the Popular Mechanics here. It's just unbelievable. They'll say things like, in the decade before 911, NORAD intercepted only one civilian plane over North America, and that was golfer Payne Stewart's Learjet in October 1999. And then they make this claim that it took an F-16 1 hour and 22 minutes to reach that jet, Payne Stewart's flight. And then just playing around with my search engine, I found out that that's not true. It wasn't an hour and 22 minutes. It was 20 minutes. Yeah, it takes 20 minutes to catch up to Payne Stewart's flight, according to the Air Force. Yeah, which is a story. I refer to a story that was written by Dallas Morning News. Dallas Morning News, they say that it was 20 minutes. And the Dallas Morning News reports, according to an Air Force timeline, a series of military planes provided an emergency escort to the stricken Learjet, beginning with a pair of F-16 Falcons from Air National Guard at Tyndall Air Force Base, Florida, about 20 minutes after ground controllers lost contact. You see how they're doing that, though? Popular Mechanics, they're trying to, apologize for the government. Oh, even then it took an hour and 22 minutes. And you find out, no, it didn't take an hour and 22 minutes. It took 20 minutes. And it seems like they're trying to paint this picture that, before 911, everything was all goofed up and we just need to reorganize. Well, that's bullshit. It wasn't all goofed up. Here's some more evidence. I found out that NORAD intercepted a hell of a lot more than one commercial aircraft in the decade before 911. An Associated Press story, fighters were scrambled 67 times between September 2000 and June 2001. I found out that from a Canadian newspaper, there were, last year, which was October 2000 to October 2001, there were 425 unknowns. Pilots who didn't file or diverted from flight plans or used the wrong frequency. Jets were scrambled 129 times, they say. And then a quote from General Ralph E. Eberhardt, United States Air Force Commander in Chief, North American Aerospace Defense Command, says that normally our units fly 4 to 6 sorties a month in support of the NORAD air defense mission. Now, the source on that is a congressional hearing. I'm thinking, geez, these guys are just full of it. And it goes on and on and on like that. They make a claim, and I provide an abundance of evidence that completely debunks what they have to say. So I urge you to surf on over to freedomisforeverybody.org. Read this Grassroots Infomedia Debunks Popular Mechanics article that I wrote, and email these goofballs at the Hearst-owned Popular Mechanics. Yeah, it's owned by the Hearst Publishing Company. And I think that they're just disinformation people, because they won't let me rebut the things they say. They won't respond to any of the emails I sent Jim Meggs, editor of Popular Mechanics, who was interviewed on CNN after I sent him the email. And he's saying that, there's these conspiracies, they're just cuckoo, and do-do-do-do. And, I know he read my email because he came to my site. I can tell by the referral. So even though this guy knows that he's lying, he's continuing to do so, and on international TV, CNN. This is ridiculous. What the hell is going on here? Who's paying him to lie like this? So that's the end of that story. And like I say, it's not a very good story. But it's a story that needs to be told. What the hell is going on here? Why is our own government attacking us? And why is the mainstream media supporting that attack? It's crazy, isn't it? Okay, up next, I'm going to show you what Sandia Laboratories is all about. And use your imagination to think about what they're going to be able to do with this technology they're developing at a microscopic level. It's scary stuff. I mean, they could have an army of insects attack people, robotic insects. And believe me, if you go to a Google search engine and type in robotic insects, there's another division of a DARPA project, DARPA's Defense Advanced Research Project, that is working on robotic insects. And with nanotechnology, they will be able to do it. They'll be able to make teeny tiny little microscopic engines, and run these things. It's just amazing. Another thing of note, the High Atmospheric Auroral Research Project is doubling in size. Just saw an article on that the other day. That's where they can now, and this is before they double size, they could focus 1 billion watts of energy on a point. I mean, the HAARP can actually create their own aurora borealis. They can actually almost write in the sky. Now, some folks, geophysicists, are speculating that some of the earthquakes and tsunamis that are taking place lately could be possibly caused by this HAARP program, because they can bounce things off the ionosphere. Now, the HAARP program is based upon the ideas of a scientist called Tesla. Not someone you've heard of, but he was a contemporary of Edison. And he was the master of lightning. He could actually make lightning bolts come out of his head. But he claimed that with the ionosphere, using the ionosphere, he could crack the Earth in half. Now tell me they can't. If Tesla thought he could crack the Earth in half, he probably could, because everything else he tried came out right. He was just never wrong. He was actually the inventor of alternating current. So there's another little thing to worry about. There'll be, and that, you know, the HARP thing, HARP, may be an explanation for why the World Trade Center towers came down, too, possibly. But anyway, here it is. This is, you know, some of the information about the nanotechnology that's being investigated at the Sandia DARPA project. Now, these recordings are right from the Sandia site. It's S-A-N-D-I-A. If you go to Google and search for S-A-N-D-I-A.gov, you'll find it. And you can download these recordings if you want to. Here it is, about nanotechnology.
Sandia is uniquely positioned to be the integrating center for new discoveries in nanoscience. Nanomaterials are already helping to attain scientists' vision for new technologies, such as the MicroChem Lab, by increasing 1,000-fold the ability to collect the chemicals of interest. Currently in the development stage, this handheld device will carry out all of the functions of a full chemistry laboratory, allowing first responders, military, and emergency personnel to rapidly assess chemical or biological hazards. All of these advances are coming from the work of multidisciplinary teams. Their ability to bring together and integrate microscale devices is another key part of the nanotechnology success story. Through strong commitments and continued partnerships with other national labs, universities, and industry, Sandia scientists believe the promise of nanotechnology applications that touch people's lives can be realized. Grand prospects based on tiny environments. It will require thinking big in a nano-sized world. Nanostructures also allow scientists to manipulate light in ways not previously possible. Based on nanofabricating several 100 nanometer-sized bars into regular structures, photonic lattices allow the steering of light beams around corners and reflect them with near 100% efficiency. This capability represents the new generation of nanocomponents that may herald in an age of optical computing. Already, structuring semiconductors at the nanoscale led to the development of the vertical cavity surface emitting laser, or VCSEL, the most efficient low-power light source available and fast becoming a key 21st century technology for communications. It's no wonder that venturing into the tiny domain of atoms and molecules is catching on. Amazing discoveries are being made, inspiring scientists the world over. Throughout the scientific community, including Sandia National Laboratories, researchers say building things atom by atom or molecule by molecule will revolutionize the production of virtually every human-made object. Exciting prospects, but they also point out the promise of nanotechnology can only be realized if we learn to understand the special rules that control behavior at this small scale and develop the skills needed to integrate these concepts into practical devices. The excitement stems from the understanding that the behavior of materials at the nanoscale is nothing like that at the large scale. Only recently have the necessary tools, such as powerful new microscopes, been developed to let researchers see these surprising behaviors. Sandia National Lab scientists and engineers are among the leading architects and builders of these tools. To appreciate their unique design features, it helps to get an idea of the size of things at the atomic level. In nanoscience, objects are measured in nanometers, 1/1,000,000th of a meter. For comparison, the smallest features on current computer chips measure about 200 nanometers, and a human hair is 100,000 nanometers thick. Moving beyond observation, scientists are now poised to make exciting advances in nanotechnology, the creation of materials, devices, and systems through the control of matter at the atomic level. By understanding and controlling the way molecules organize into nanoscale patterns, scientists are discovering new phenomena and learning to design materials with vastly different sets of properties. As one Sandia scientist put it, design possibilities are limited only by one's imagination. Sandia Labs continues to enhance its proficiency in many fields, all in keeping with its Department of Energy mission to unite science and engineering to serve national needs. And along with world-class capabilities in material science, microfabrication, including 40,000 square feet of cleanroom space, high-performance computing and systems engineering, Sandia is uniquely positioned to be the integrating center for new discoveries in nanoscience. Simple, efficient methods to organize molecules and molecular clusters into precise, predetermined structures are another important area of nanotechnology exploration. Nature provides many examples of intricately organized architectures, such as seashells, whose self-assembly is choreographed by molecular interactions. Researchers are applying similar strategies to spontaneously organize new nanocomposite and mesoporous materials. In fact, these nanomaterials are already helping to attain scientists' vision for new technologies. Sandia already has used ion implantation techniques to create lightweight aluminum composite surfaces that are as strong as the best steel available. Beams of energetic particles produce surface layers which improve friction and wear of metals for long-term use in micromechanical devices. These beams might be used to create unimagined performance of nanomaterials for tiny components, and also with other techniques for large-scale synthesis of stronger, lighter materials that are more economical to produce. Automotive bodies and engine blocks might never be the same.
Well, there you have it, a story about Popular Mechanics and the terrible job they did debunking the 911 conspiracies, a little bit about HAARP and nanotechnology. Hope you enjoyed that. You can find out more about Grassroots Infomedia's Of the People radio show at Live 365. That's where we're streaming from. If you'd like to take a look at our website, it is called freedomisforeverybody.org. Thanks for listening. This is Alphonse.